Good evening, brethren. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles, I'll be in Psalm 103 in just a few minutes. Psalm 103. Brethren, I'm going to have to go away on vacation more often. Something about today. Y'all are just really singing. I don't know. Maybe I need to leave more often so y'all get loud and really energetic in the singing. It's been great today to sing with you and worship with you. We want to welcome our visitors that we have with us this evening. So blessed as a Christian people to have others that want to worship and praise God with us. And we thank you for your attendance. And we want you to know that you're welcome each and every time that we're here. We would like anybody and everybody to worship and study God's Word with us each and every time God gives us the opportunity to do so. This evening I want us to study together kind of a weird question you might not have thought about before, but I want us to ask and answer the question this evening. Do you really want forgiveness? Do you really want forgiveness? You're probably thinking in your head, of course I want forgiveness. Who wouldn't? I've sinned. I want to be seen as righteous in front of God. I want to go to heaven. Of course I want forgiveness. But I want you to know that our actions might be telling God another story. A few weeks back, I read an article, and it was actually, I want to give him his due credit, it was by Brother Edwin Crozier, the gentleman that came and did our gospel meeting just a few weeks back. And I read an article that he wrote, and he kind of went along this type of theme. And he called it a condition where the Christians today possibly don't 100% understand forgiveness. And as a result, he wrote that because of this not 100% knowing about forgiveness, what it means, what it is to us, that perhaps some of us are continuing to be in sin. And it went on to talk about how sometimes people ask for forgiveness, but maybe they're just doing it in their words and not in their actions. And this evening, I want us to study this because as I read it, it meant a lot to me. And it really hit home to me and made me look at some things that I'm doing in my life and think, maybe there's some room for improvement there. So I wanted to share some things that I took from this brother's thoughts. And I wanted to make it in my own sermon and some things that hopefully that helped me and hopefully will help you this evening as we study the Word of God together. Before we begin in answering this question, we need to understand what is forgiveness. And thankfully, God tells us exactly what forgiveness is. We're going to start reading in Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." I'm going to go over and read with you verses 10 through 14. Verses 10 through 14. "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him." I love this. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As the father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." What is forgiveness? Well, verse 10 tells us that it is a pardoning of our sins. It says He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For all have fallen short of the glory of God." I'm sorry, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." For the wages of sin is death. Each and every one of us deserve eternal death because we have sinned. Because we have come short of the things that God has asked us to do. But yet He pardons us. He forgives us. We understand what pardoning means because we understand that there's people in our government that can pardon other people. What does that mean? That means that they have definitely done something to deserve some type of punishment. But because somebody they know or somebody is showing them some grace, they get pardoned. They don't have to be punished in the way that they deserve. And that is us. We deserve death spiritually. But God pardons us. That's what forgiveness is. It is also a separating of our sins. Think about it like this. When you sin, it becomes a part of you. It is what you have done. you deserve something for that. But God steps in and says, I will forgive you, I will separate you. Though it is on your shoulders, on your hands, I'm simply going to separate you, pardon you for those sins. It is also a releasing of burden. Verse 12 says, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. He has removed them from us. Forgiveness means when God looks at us, that He no longer sees sin. Even though that's what He should see. That is what we are. We are sinners. But He does this not because of anything that we have done, but because of who He is. Brother, I want us to think about as we do this study tonight, there is not a single thing that you or I can do to ever earn the forgiveness that God so freely gives us because of who He is, because of Jesus and His sacrifice. Forgiveness is freely given. It is a pardon. It is a release. It is a separation. But there is nothing that we can ever do to ever earn that. I want to go into our first point this evening. We just have 2 points. 2 points. First one is this. We don't want it. We don't want it. Here's what I mean by this. Sometimes we can ask for forgiveness from God, but I fear that our actions tell Him we don't want it, or at least on His terms. We want that forgiveness on our own terms. Let me try to explain to you what I mean by this by looking in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, I want us to read together verses 23 through 28. 23 through 28. Jesus says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Notice with me in verse 26, but the servant therefore fell down before him saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. Before I try to explain this, I want us to understand the type of debt that this gentleman was in. In verse 24, it says he owed him 10,000 talents. I have a little graph up here that shows this. And it shows that in this money, that one talent would have equaled to 16 years of wages. One talent equals 16 years. So if my math is correct on this, then that would show me that's about 160,000 years that this gentleman would need to work to repay the debt. When I think about that, I think about how obvious it is that Jesus use this example because that's about how much in debt we are to God because of our sins. In other words, we could live for far more years than we'll probably be on this earth, and there is no way possible that we can ever do anything to repay the debt that we had. I want us to notice what the servant did not ask for. Notice in verse 26, he says, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. He does not ask for forgiveness, does he? He does not say, Master, please forgive me. He says, give me patience, and I will make it up to you. I will do what I can to make this right. And that's my point with you this night on number one. I'm afraid that we say that to God. That when we actually ask for forgiveness, what we really mean is that not, please forgive me, but let me make it up to you. Give me time. Let me pay this back to you. In other words, have we ever thought, have patience with me, and I will pay you all?
I want that to sink in just for a moment. Have you ever said to God in some way, "Have patience with me and I will pay you all"? As if there is anything possible that you and I could do to make anything up to God. I believe almost every single one of us in this room at some time or another have said this to God. Maybe we've even said or thought, "Please ignore my sin so I can show you I'm not really that bad." Sometimes we say to God, "Listen, God, let me have a little talk with you. And I know I'm doing some things that just aren't making you happy right now. I know that my job is pulling me away from my family and from you. I'm having to do some things that could be seen as cheating, but God, if you could just ignore them for just a little bit, I'll get that promotion, or I'll get this accomplished, and then I promise I'll make it up to you. I'm really not that bad if you could just ignore the sins just for a little while." That's what I mean by we don't really want the forgiveness that God gives. We want to do something for it. We want to make a deal with God. We want to have input as if we have the power to do anything. Some people even say, "I promise I'll make it up to you after you forgive me." And we've seen this in shows, movies. Probably many of us have even done this ourselves at some time or another. But we prayed to God, "If you'll just forgive me for this thing. God, if you'll just get me through this, please answer my prayer the way I want it to be answered, then I will be the person that I can be for you. Forgive me and then I'll be the Christian that you deserve for me to be." Sometimes when we start to say these things, we start to think these things, then we're not really asking for God's forgiveness, that free gift. What we're really saying is that we want a system of works, a system of earning forgiveness. But the issue here is that we begin thinking that we have the power to receive forgiveness, and we do not. Remember the very definition of forgiveness. We said the pardoning, the separating, the releasing, something we do not deserve, but we freely get. Brethren, we need to make sure that when we ask for forgiveness, that we just accept it, and then we try to become better Christians after. Stop trying to act as if you can do anything to earn it. You can do any special work to be that special Christian. Let me show you another example of this. Go with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. If perhaps in Matthew chapter 18 this example didn't mean a lot to you, maybe this one will. Hopefully one of these will help. Luke chapter 18 verses 11 and 12. Jesus again says, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.'" When I read this, I wonder how many times we have thought similar things. We read in Luke chapter 18 and we say, we would never be like the Pharisee. We would never do anything like that. But have we ever said, "God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men"? Have you ever said that? If you're saying to yourself, "No, I've never said that," then I want you to take a look at these examples. Have you ever said, "God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people that don't go to worship services. I know I deserve forgiveness because I show up at least once a week, twice a week, or I show up three times a week. I deserve forgiveness. I am doing what I need to do to get that forgiveness. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people that ignore your commands, that act so sinful. There's so many people in this world today that just spit on your word, God, but I respect you. I may not be perfect, God, but I believe in your law. I worship you. God, I thank you so much that I'm not like the other sinners in the world. I don't agree with abortion. I don't agree with gay marriage like so many people in the world do today. So somehow that means that I'm worthy of that forgiveness. Brethren, it doesn't matter what we agree with, don't agree with, obey, don't obey. There is absolutely nothing that you and I can do to deserve the grace of God. So stop trying. Stop trying. It's not about a system of works. It's not about a system of, God, forgive me, I'll be better this week. God, forgive me of this, I'll grow. I'll learn more. God, please forgive me, I promise I'll continue reading my Bible and I'll do more of it. That's not what it's about. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 tells us, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. God has commanded us as New Testament Christians, disciples of His Son, to put away things such as animal sacrifice. And we say, of course we know we're not to sacrifice anymore. But how many times in your life have you said, I deserve to be a Christian. I deserve forgiveness. I deserve this from God because I gave to the poor this week. I took somebody some food this week. I held the door open for somebody. There was a group of people laughing at a joke that was ungodly, and I didn't laugh. I don't cuss. I'm a pretty good person. Those are all great things, and we need to continue to do that. But that does not mean that we deserve anything. We simply need to give obedience. God is our Lord, our Creator, the awesome God that we serve. I love to serve Him. I love to be His child. But it's out of a love that I obey Him, not a system of works. So if there's anything that you think that you're doing to deserve it, we need to understand that we need to just accept His grace, His mercy on His ways, not our own. That means that we just simply ask for forgiveness, and then we grow from there. We don't just ask for the forgiveness and then say, we're good where we're at. I've asked for the forgiveness, I'm clean, I'm forgiven, it's good. Now we have to continue to be better, continue to grow. That's what it's about. Not a system of, if I do this, I deserve anything from God. We need to not act like we do not want His forgiveness. But when we say and do these things, like the Pharisee, like the person who was forgiven a lot of debt but would not forgive another. Number two, we need forgiveness. We need forgiveness. Go with me in your Bibles to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. We need God's forgiveness. Because verse 6 in chapter 64 reminds us who and what we are when we have sin on us. Isaiah writes, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Our own righteousness cannot cleanse us. In fact, every time we think we do a good enough deed to cancel out a sin is just about the time that we normally sin again and cancel out the good deed that we did. We can't look at ourselves and feel self-righteous as if we've done something. Instead, we need to look at God and say, thank you, Father, for your forgiveness. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the opportunity to continue to live on this earth and to try and strive to be better every single day. Our own righteousness cannot cleanse us. Look at this verse again, number 6. We are all like an unclean thing, When we have sin on us, we are like a filthy rag. We all fade as a leaf. This is a perfect time of the year to read this verse. We understand fall and the changing of leaves and how the fading of leaves, they change color and they die. That is like us when we have sin in our life. We are fading away from God. The wind takes us away from Him. We need God's forgiveness. We need His cleansing. We don't need our own works to do anything for us. We don't need a temporary patience from God so that we'll make it up to Him later. We need His forgiveness, His cleansing, His righteousness, so that our own sins will not defile us. When we have sin in our life, that's what we've done. We've defiled ourselves in the face of God. We need His forgiveness. We read that description of how it makes us unclean when we have sin upon us. Brethren, we all understand at the core of what forgiveness is. I understood this before I brought this lesson to you this evening. I know that you know, as a Christian, what forgiveness is. It is just my goal to remind you, as I was reminded in reading this article, that sometimes I think we get ahead of ourselves and we think we deserve it because of something we've done. We think that we have done something to earn it, as if we ever could. We need to remember that it is us that is the created. Us is the one who has been forgiven, not the other way around. In talking about sins, I want us to understand in closing tonight that God never ignores sins. He does one of two things to our sins. He either punishes them or He pays for them. That's the only two choices. He punishes our sins or He pays for them. And again, the reminder is we cannot pay for them. God doesn't extend patience so that we can pay off our sins. He extends patience so that we can grow enough to realize that we can never pay for them until we fully surrender and we come before His throne. Why do we need His forgiveness? Why can't we do things to earn it? Because we can never do anything to pay for them. You can never do enough works to prove anything. That's the way the system works. The moment that we sin, we have fallen short of the glory of God. And that is so easy to do, isn't it? Every single one of us tonight are going to wake up in the morning and go to our jobs. Some of you will. I guess some of you have the week off. And we're going to be with our families. We're going to do all of these things. And with each and every day that we have, presents another temptation. Presents another opportunity for us to sin. Brethren, instead of thinking that you can do anything about it, if you will just hear me for this point. When you sin, go to the throne of God and ask for forgiveness. Really ask for it. With an understanding that you know that He can take them away. That He can cleanse you. He can separate you from your sins. Stop trying to think that we can do anything to ever cleanse ourselves, because we can't. When we begin to think like that, we're taking power away from God and we're giving a little bit too much power to ourselves. In closing this evening, I want us to read Acts chapter 2, verse 38. There were a multitude of people that were hearing Peter preach a sermon. He was telling them all that you have just crucified your Savior, the one that was talked about for all of time, but you have put Him up on a cross. They realized there was sin in their life. They realized they needed something. Forgiveness. How did they get that forgiveness? When they ask, "What shall we do?" Peter tells them, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now I know that there are some people in the world today that would read this verse and say, "You just preached a whole sermon about not doing works. That sounds like a work." To that I would answer with this. Baptism does not pay for our sins. Making our bodies wet does not do anything to forgive us of our sins. But Jesus' death does. What does baptism do for you and I? It allows us to obey what has been commanded so that we can come into contact with forgiveness, which is Jesus' blood, His crucifixion. Brethren, tonight, I want you to understand that there is forgiveness for each and every one of you. If you're already a child of God tonight, forgiveness has already been extended to you. If there's sin in your life right now, go to the Father in heaven, ask for that forgiveness, and then continue to grow. If you have not yet put on Christ through baptism, through that obedience to the command that Peter and so many others said in the New Testament, you are outside of that forgiveness. Doesn't mean you can't get it. Doesn't mean that God doesn't want to forgive you. He's just waiting for you to obey His Word. If we can help you this evening to put on Christ, to receive the forgiveness, to allow your sins to be completely taken off of your shoulders, we ask you to allow us to help you with that tonight, whether it be through prayer or through repentance and baptism. Please help. Let us help you while we stand and sing.